It's been 28 years since the fall of the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, the murderous communist regime led by Pol Pot. Between April 1975 and January 1979, nearly 2 million people, about a quarter of the population, were killed or died from starvation, overwork, and disease. This year, a United Nations tribunal is set to try the leaders of the regime, at least those who are still alive. But as Megan Williams reports, there are many in Cambodia who are too young to remember and find it hard to believe what their parents say about those years in hell.
On the raised wooden veranda of a small home perched on stilts, the women of Mueang Vang sit and talk about the past. Mueang Vang is in central Cambodia, a tiny village just off a red clay road where palm trees shoot high into the sky. Ko Yin holds her infant grandchild in her arms. This 58-year-old was in her late 20s when Pol Pot took power. By the time the regime fell, her sister, brother, and husband were all dead, killed by the Khmer Rouge. Her two oldest children survived. The third, the same age as the child she now holds, died in her arms of starvation. Ko Yin is painfully aware that her older grandchildren don't believe her story.
They say, "How is it possible that you ate so little?" They say they haven't seen it with their own eyes, so they don't believe it when I tell them there was so little food, that we worked so hard, that people were killed. I'm angry they don't believe.
It's a grievance many survivors of the Pol Pot regime express. In Cambodia, there's been little public discussion of the genocide. Even after the regime fell, leaders still held key positions in government. Others, including Pol Pot, have died without facing justice. There's a real risk, say people like Vishwa Moili, that the country's brutal past is in danger of being denied or forgotten by the next generation.
I heard that you work in the field, rice field, and you gather a lot of rice. So why you didn't have enough rice to eat? Like, it's very abstract when my parents told me.
Vishwa's 21 and works with the Phnom Penh group called the KRT, short for Khmer Rouge Tribunal Outreach Program. She and her colleague Nu Va spent 6 months traveling the country, interviewing young people about the Pol Pot past. They came out with a documentary called Seeing Proof. The film includes archival footage and interviews with survivors and their children. Throughout, teenagers express their doubts about the genocide.
I think it's hard to believe because they don't understand how Cambodians can kill each other. We are all good people and we have feelings. Why would they kill each other?
If there was such a regime, why didn't the people stand up and fight back against the leaders? They let a handful of people kill millions just like that?
Nu Va says high school students get taught practically no history of that time period. And for kids in the countryside, information is even scarcer.
Some of them don't go to school. And now, we don't have much about the Khmer Rouge regime lesson.
Nu Va and Vishwa are traveling around Cambodia again, this time to show the film. Vishwa says people sit in silence and then ask to see it again.
Especially the old generation became able to say their past experience, they cried, and the little girl come up and cried as well, and just cried and said, "See, very, very sorry to their old generation."
Across the city, two young radio hosts broadcast their weekly shows from the Women's Media Center. 27-year-old Dina Trapp hosts the Road of Law program, a call-in show that focuses on issues related to the upcoming Khmer Rouge Tribunal. It receives no government funding and struggles to keep on air with grants from foreign human rights groups. Dina says she uses different elements to trigger memories like this old Khmer Rouge propaganda music.
I start by playing the music and in the Pol Pot regime and then ask to the young people and ask to the old people also, do you remember this song? Because I choose the popular song that in the Pol Pot regime always play in the morning.
Another radio program called The Truth aims to present nonpartisan information about the past in a way the government has failed to provide. It also offers an outlet to callers still suffering from that past.
The person who call in our program, most of them is the survivor of the Khmer Rouge regime. But however, we try to attract young people to listen to our program. Personal stories, this is what young people want to hear.
It's with us, with every day, and not a single day that we forget to condemn the regime, that we forget to tell the children. It's been with us. It's a living history.
Yuk Chang is often a guest host on The Truth. He's the director of the Documentation Center of Cambodia and the nation's most vocal advocate for the victims of the Khmer Rouge regime. He's just finished the first textbook entry on the Khmer Rouge, and once approved by the government, it will at last become part of official history. He says that what always comes up when he hosts a show is how everyone, survivors and killers, feel victimized by the past.
So one time I was in between one killer and one victim from the same prison, and I was in the middle. When everybody, it doesn't matter they were perpetrator or victim, when they talk about food, they all cry.
Food,
it's so emotional. And people began to cry, and it just, and both sides, between even the killer, they feel that I was so hungry too. I would kill people because I want to eat food.
This mournful ballad is about Tu Slang, the infamous prison in Phnom Penh where 14,000 children, men and women, were tortured under the regime. Their pictures line the walls, staring out into the former classrooms where they were held. The rooms have been left almost untouched, torture instruments sitting on bed frames, chains still bolted into the floors, bloodstains on the walls. As a final chapter of the Seeing Proof documentary, a group of high school students is shepherded through the former prison, the first glimpse at evidence of the Khmer Rouge terror. A survivor explains that children were killed along with their parents, a favorite Khmer Rouge motto being, to clear the grass, you must dig up the roots. The teens' faces show shock and distress. Vuk Chang says that while it's tough for kids to face what happened, it's also what his country needs to finally heal.
It's just like a medicine. You know, to me, it's the most effective reconciliation process of all. Having children knowing so about what happened to their parent, I think it's the best healing. It's the best healing among all other processes that I have seen in Cambodia. It's the best healing. You know, the kids were just so happy that the kid went to the museum and tell them the story. They're so happy. They were so happy.
For On the Media, I'm Megan Williams in Phnom Penh, Cambodia.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Tony Field, Jamie York, and Mike Volo, and edited by Brooke. Dylan Keefe is our technical director and Jennifer Munson, our engineer. We had help from Michael McLaughlin. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer and John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. You can listen to the program and find free transcripts, MP3 downloads, and our podcast at onthemedia.org. You can also sign up for our newsletter at that address, and you can email us at onthemedia@wnyc.org. This is On the Media from WNYC. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
On the Media is supported by the Bydell Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the John and Anna Maria Phillips Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.